Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, today we have with us Lauren Bain. And Lauren is a personal brand creative director based in Austin, Texas. She designs one-of-a-kind personal brands for one-of-a-kind individuals. With over 25 years of experience in creative advertising and a specialized focus on personal branding, Lauren helps accomplished professionals, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs transform their expertise into distinctive, eye-catching personal brands. So if that's an indicator of what we're going to be talking about, well, let's welcome Lauren. So welcome, Lauren, and tell us more about, oh my gosh, the good works that you do here with personal brand, because this is a passion of mine.
Oh, that's so fun. Great. Well, thank you so much for having me. I spent 25 years in the advertising and entrepreneurial space and was trained just traditionally to do creative advertising campaigns for products and services. And about a year ago on my birthday, I realized I had reached this 25-year mark in my career and I was kind of itching to do something different. And so I went on a professional development journey. It was the first time I really ever invested in masterminds and mentorships and different groups to try to unpack and figure out, like, what is it that I wanted to do next with all of the experience that I had. And so one of the groups that I got into was a community that was focused on personal branding. And I thought I was going to go in there to shape my own personal brand. And while you're in there and working through their strategy frameworks, I was discovering that I wasn't really sure what was exciting me so much. Like, what is it that I truly, truly liked what I did? And with a publicity group I worked with, we did a lot of retrospective work, like all the way back to when I was a little girl. And we uncovered that the thread was always creativity, but really what got me the most excited was selling things creatively or bringing dreams to life, whether they be mine through entrepreneurialism or through a business and wanting to share their product or service with the world. That's kind of what lights me up and what makes me so excited. The vehicle to which I do that is traditional advertising deliverables. And so I worked for Fortune 500 brands, creating national commercials and billboards and print ads and just all the media you can think of through the lens of copywriting and advertising. And then would go in-house at agencies. I would then work for myself and businesses that I wanted to start up, like after-school kid excursion companies and adventure companies for kids in the summertime that I felt like should get out after school and in the summer exploring nature. Then I would go back to an agency and work on a brand that I was really passionate about. Then I'd go brand side. And so the last 25 years, I've really had kind of this fun roller coaster of different types of jobs, but they all were in the same space of helping somebody sell their dream. So when I was with this personal branding firm this year, trying to develop what my personal brand was about, I realized I was surrounded by so many people that were so excited about giving their expertise back to the world in some capacity, whether that be through coaching as an entrepreneur to leverage their personal brand into their business, speakers, podcasters, authors, that space of people were basically had some kind of message, some kind of mission that they wanted to share with the world. And so when they went to market, most of the traditional ways you go to market is with a website and a brand identity. And I was looking at them and thinking, has anyone ever thought about branding people the way you brand products and services? Because the traditional methodology for how people will go to market as a persona or as a public figure is a well laid out template with pictures of yourself and marketing copy and your offers and your buttons and things like that. But I was looking at them as like, the word personal brand has the word brand in it, but there's really not a lot of branding that goes in personal brand. And so it all kind of came to me about 9 to 10 months in as I was iterating and figuring out different business models for myself. And I figured, well, if these are people selling a service just the way my traditional brands were, then could I apply the same principles of a good creative brand and standing out and differentiating to these people? And so really, just about 4 months ago is when I decided to pivot and start this. And I got clients really quickly. And I've just launched about 5 brands over the last 4 months. And they're all extremely different, extremely unique. And they all sell them. It's also the personal and personal branding, too. It's not just your photos. It's more than that. It's everything from the iconography to the fonts and the colors and the logos we come up with to even the messaging on the website. You know, the copy comes in very strategic, but the spin that I would always take as an advertising professional is like, how do we make this not only clear, but also a little clever, something ownable and very IP. So you have your own personal IP as well. And so that's what I just started doing. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a really fun creative challenge. And it makes me so happy to launch these personal brands and have them say, oh, this really feels like me.
I love that because you're so right. I mean, a personal brand is the entirety of the person. And I think that sometimes when we think of personal branding, it's the product or the service, but it's person that created it. And it's one thing that stands out, and I probably have said this on a different episode too before, is one book that kind of really puts things in perspective, I think, for me at the time when I was kind of early on into my personal branding, and I didn't realize I was building a personal brand. I was just building something for fun. And next thing I know, that people are like, but you have a brand. I'm like, what one? Because I was just into everything. What I coined as a multi-passionate entrepreneur. But this book really resonated, and it's titled Your Stand is Your Brand. Mm. And I'm going to butcher the author's name. I think it's Pat Girantanimo. I don't know. Amazon could tell you about it. Your Stand is Your Brand. But what I took away from that is very much of what you're talking about. It's the encompassment of who you are, the persona, that what do you stand for? What are your values, your beliefs, your goals, your identity, your mission work, your messaging, like all of this entwined into the human behind this product-based or service-based branding. So to your point, when you talked about working with Fortune 500s, you're taking that same methodology and applying it into the personal side, which is so smart and so strategic, because if you can blow up on a Fortune 500 brand, you could do the same on a personal brand. So let's unpack that.
Yes, let's do it. I agree.
So how exactly, let's take it back for a second. When you're talking about two different, you have Fortune 500, which are those well-known company brands out there that you had mentioned a few of them that you had worked with. And then you have your personal brands, which are typically one person, right? And they may or may not have a team behind them. So how do we stand out from a person of one, you know, team of one, to a team that's a corporate brand? What are some of the big differentiators between it? Because even though the through line and the messaging is very similar, but how does one stand out over the other?
So I like to compare it a lot to like sneakers. Okay, so sneakers help you walk and run. Let's just say that they're performance sneakers, not like just lifestyle or casual wear sneakers. So when you think of the sneakers that help you run, you start thinking of your brands. You're most likely the first one you're going to think of is Nike. And then you might start getting into whether or not you're a big runner, and then you'll get into Asics and Brooks and like more of the performance. Or if you're more like an Adidas or New Balance, those are going to have some style to them. So I would ask the consumer, why do you associate those brands with a certain type of performance or a certain type of service? What is it about that? Is it actually the materials that are made? Are we really going to get into the specifics of like, well, this one has laces and like the tactical side of it? It's usually the brand. And it's kind of a hard thing to articulate too as well, because brand is bigger. It's an emotional connection. It's a feeling you get when you hear the name of the brand, but it's also a long, long shelf life of work that's gone into it from the founders from the top down. And so, or the advertising agency they hire to develop the persona for their brand. But one of the things actually I would even do with products and services a lot with my client is I would go through a persona exercise with them, because this is before I even knew much about personal branding. And I would say, okay, if this braces company that I'm working on was a person, who is this person? Because if we don't have that set internally with your company and also with us as an ad agency, then we're not all kind of laddering up and, you know, chiming in on the best things about this company as it is the reputation of the person, like talking about them as though they were a person. And so I would say, you know, is this Betty White or is it Meryl Streep or Betty White? Is it Jerry Seinfeld or is it somebody a little more certain? You know, we use celebrities a lot because it's just kind of the first thing people would know, but we could go into athletes or we could go into celebrity entrepreneurs, just basically a public figure that the general consensus of people would know. And so it was funny, like I would personify that in a product and service, but now we actually have a person behind the personal brand. So they don't even need to be personified because it is who is you. And so it's beyond just your services and your expertise. It's your why. You know, I'm working with a brand right now and he's a strategist and he helps actually do brand strategy for personal brands. But his personal brand website was just about him and the service he offered, nothing about his history of being a video game designer and his whole world of tech and how he sees things. And so part of my process is not only looking at your services and your offerings and your expertise, but also figuring out the thing that I call the unicorn factor. What makes you unique? Because just like sneakers, they're probably all going to let you run a certain distance in a certain time. Maybe there's some test out there that you will run faster in a Nike versus an ASICS. I don't know. But functionally, they will all do the service provided. But brand-wise, what makes them unique? And so when I got into this space of like, there's so many coaches, there's so many motivational speakers, you know, there's tons of authors. Your book will probably help you differentiate too. But, you know, who are you and why should anybody care? Part of that, the job, the heavy lifting of your reputation, like you said, you were already doing the work and be developing your brand without you really knowing it. That's great. And that's going to help and that's going to happen. And people will get to know your name. But the heavy lifting that has to do without also brand identity that goes with it and messaging that goes with it and a website that's like, oh, okay, I get it. With the experience you feel when you go to that digital storefront. I just thought those same practices could be done to personal brands. So that's how I apply the differentiation model to sneakers and people.
But I love it. I love the breakdown of it. And you're so right. And how, okay, you got the brand synonymous, you got Nike, but yet at the end of the day, it's a shoe, right? Because you can have a shoe for any of those brands, but why do you pick one over the other? And it's funny because I was just thinking about this. I was at the gym earlier today and I saw this woman with, I couldn't read the label on her shoe. And I was just thinking, well, nowadays, it's like you could find almost anything on Amazon and everyone's trying to build a brand there. And so if they're all getting the same product from somewhat of the same manufacturer, how does one differentiate now? Do you feel like it's a little bit more of a challenge because there's so many competitors in the market?
Yes. And performance marketing is becoming such a big deal. I've been out of the agency space for a little while, but I am married to a group creative director who's in an agency space. And so I get a lot of reports back from the scene. I think there has been a big shift for sure. And I think if people are just going to purchase off, I mean, when you go to Amazon and you're searching for a sneaker, I would think that you're going there searching for the brand.
Right.
You're going searching for price, then that's a different model. But there is so much data that's being able to be captured now that hadn't in the past, back when I was being trained as far as like why people care. I think it's kind of the founder-led principle. I think it's just going to be part of the ethos of the brand to decide brand matters. And I can name a bunch of brands right now that have a brand, you've heard of their name, but they care more about the data and the dollars than they care about the brand and the loyalty and, you know, why it matters. You know, if you think of like Yeti, for example, there's so many Yeti cups out there. You know, there's Polar and like Stanley's entered the market. Stanley definitely is targeting a different target market than Yeti. But I think if you were to just look at the data of what these cups do, I don't know enough about it, but I think brand is carrying Yeti still because I think that the Stanley cups probably have great data and Polar has great data and there's Arctic and there's just so many different people out there. So you have to care about it and it has to be a priority for you. And so when you are able to shop the way you're able to shop now, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are just going to shop and not care about brand as much. So I think it's led from the entrepreneur level down.
Yes. And I think that kind of brings me to my next question too, because especially with a personal brand, because there's how many billions of users out there on the internet from whether social media to your website. I don't know the data. I mean, it's something billions. There's what, 7 billion in the world. And so I don't know, I think it's like close to 3 billion are actually online. Like that's wild to think that we can be connected and just by Wi-Fi, right? Because it's like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Now you're competing against people. So that competition feels that if you're building a personal brand, and I want to bring this back really to the personal branding section, how do you differentiate? How would you, if you're working for somebody who's brand new to somebody who's already been in the industry, I want to pull on a couple of examples, and then one who's already stood out in the industry. Now, as you're kind of journeying through, if you're starting out at the bottom, like just started today, want to get a personal brand, what would some of the advice that you would give to an individual who's just, hey, listen, I feel like I'm just a needle in a haystack. There's a million bazillion people out there doing something similar. How do I stand out? How do I differentiate? I'd love for you to kind of tackle that one.
Well, so Simon Sinek always says, like, start with your why, and that's important too. But, you know, I've been taught, and I believe, to start with your who. Who are you trying to reach? So if you want to exploit your gifts in service of others, as Larry Winger so wonderfully quotes, you know, who are you exploiting your gifts in service of? You know, start there and then kind of back it out. So once you figured out, like, who is it? And that was even my struggle too. I was like, what? I was so hung up on the what I do. But once I figured out who, then I could figure out what do they need. And then that helped me inform what I do. So first you start with your who when you're starting to formulate with your personal brand from there. But to differentiate and stand out, you know, my gift is doing that through branding assets. And so I think personal brands are a little more unique. Like, you have package design. So if you look at, like, Ben and Jerry's and Haagen-Dazs, they look very different in the freezer section. And you're probably going to gravitate towards one or the other depending on your personality. If you're just shopping for ice cream, they'll both do the job, right? They both have some form of chocolate. But you might be like, that's so fun. Cherry Garcia is such a fun name. And, like, that's cute. You might like that. Or you might be like, that's so complicated. Why did they have to go that way? Like, can I just get just chocolate Haagen-Dazs and some pretty fonts? Like, so it depends on the person shopping. Same goes for personal brands. Your packaging is important. These are things that I don't provide. I do sell assessments, and we can do some styling of your photography as it pertains to your assets. But I think it is your package design. What is your unique look? Do you have a unique outfit, glasses, hats? You know, how do you show up and keep that consistent everywhere you're seen? And personal branding is very much a front and center spotlight role. It is, I think, in the past, you know, people that are entrepreneurs, we don't necessarily hide behind our business, but I didn't even understand the shift either from going to, like, having an agency name of personal branding services versus Lauren Bain, personal brand creative director, and it being me being the person offering the services. But if you are going to go out there and be the face of your business and of the service you're offering, there is some packaging you need to do. Your own tone and voice should come through. Keep it real to yourself. But I've definitely worked with people that have a certain kind of business persona that they want to represent online and for their personal brand, and might not want to get in the weeds of, like, get ready with me's and this is what my kids are doing this weekend and things like that. And there's other people that are like, oh yeah, I want to lay it all out there. And I just want to talk about everything that's going on with me. So we have just kind of the what you're going to share with your voice, what you're going to share aesthetically. But when it comes to your assets, like your website and your identity, I think really standing out there and making sure that it is a mixture of what does my audience want to buy from me? So what's going to be attractive to them, which is traditionally how you would market a brand. But then now I have the personal side of it, but how does this also represent me? So I have a client who's a confident speaking coach. And when we did his brand, he was like, I really wanted to be like Mercedes and mid-century modern and have this purple that I love. Well, I don't know if Mercedes, mid-century modern, and this purple were necessarily the client buying him. Is that what they're thinking? Like, are they wanting that? You know, like, are they looking into that? But because I'm marketing a personal brand, I need to make sure it's him. And so for them, they're like, okay, this is what I'm buying. I'm buying someone that's sleek and purple and has kind of this Mercedes, very high end. And he wanted to attract a certain type of person. So we had to make sure his assets aligned with that. But it was a fun creative challenge because it's like, I need to market him, but I need to market to his people. And so ultimately, that's what makes him so unique, because you go to the site and you're like, oh, his voice assistant logo we gave him are these big bubbles that look like mid-century modern bubbles that are subtle. No one would really know that if I didn't explain it, but he knows it. It makes him confident. He likes it. And it's so representative of him. And so that's what happens every time, like, I unveil a new brand and I like, what are people saying? They're like, oh, they all say it's so you. And I'm like, that's perfect. It's so you. So people know what they're buying. They know why. So you're differentiating just right there because it's you.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, because it's like pulling on the little things that you wouldn't typically think of. But I mean, who would think, okay, Mercedes, purple and whatever. But I like how you pulled it together, because you're like, if you go to his website, he knows what it means. He feels confident about it. And so you need to pour into what the confidence level is at that level, because that individual will go out and project it and become it and exude it. And so I love that you brought that example. And that's a really great, great point to make. And so when you talk about the differentiators, what makes somebody unique and different, it comes down to, like, the details. And I know when you talk about, like, refining your approach when it comes to your clients, perfecting every detail of that brand identity, because every detail is, it's the little layers on top that differentiate. And I know that I'm such a detail-oriented person. People are like, nobody cares about the details. And I'll go, no, I do. I do, because that when I go to bed at night, I want to know that things are in place, that things make sense. Everything is interconnected. So you having to pay that close attention to your client, and normally you would probably be like, who cares, right? But that differentiator made a big of a difference. So I just want to bring that full process over.
And it's subtle. It's like the R in his last name, and we put a little iconography. I always like to have some kind of singular stamp outside the logo. The circle around it could have just been a circle, and it could have just looked cute and been a circle, but we made them like little sound waves, and they were a little bit messy, and it's super subtle. And it's just something that is now his little mark, and he's able to speak to it. And then he has something unique and interesting that people might be like, well, why is that like that? And he's like, well, I help either smooth out the sound waves, or I help you control your voice. And then I get down to even like the taglines or slogans. He helps anxious presenters overcome their fears. Well, I was like, well, what can we say? How do we say that more creatively so you can have a statement that you own? So it turned into own your voice, own the room. And that's what he's selling to people. Like, once you're confident in speaking, then you can own any room you go into. And so it ended up being this great slogan for him and tagline for him to use as well. And so that's something else I try to do too, is provide everyone some kind of brand promise. It's hopefully, it's not only clever, but hopefully it's really clear too, because there's been recommendations that clear is better than clever. And I'm like, how can we be both?
Right. Oh, I love that. I love that. That's the ingenuity of what you're doing there. So that's really cool. So when you talk, you know, obviously personal branding, the details, how to own a tagline or a differentiator on that part. But what are some of the other pieces that go into making up a personal brand that really makes that individual stand out? And obviously through a creative director perspective, you're kind of seeing the bigger picture. So having that awareness of the individual, their mission, their messaging, but also the vision, the big vision of where they're going, right? So having that full clarity, because it allows you to fully step into your role and help define that. Because as a personal brand, we don't really see the whole big picture from a branding perspective. We see it from, this is what I stand for, this is where I'm going, this is how I will help my clients. So kind of paint some of that background picture as well.
Of the whole picture of the whole brand?
Yeah, like how it comes together. Because when we see, I think from even as a consumer perspective, we just see, okay, there's a person and he sells possibly sound quality. We'll just use your client there for the example.
Confident speaking.
Right. Yeah. And so how does that bring it all together? Like, what is the next, I guess, once we refine the messaging, the details, what is next on there to really elevate and make them stand out, get them into the market? You know, differentiate between the 7 billion people that are out there and maybe the 3 billion that are on the online space. What's next after those different phases? Because obviously coming into working with you as a new person to somebody who's already maybe has some footing in the door, has some sort of brand reputation. But how do we grow? How do we stand out?
So I think what's fun about what I'm doing now is I've really niched down into actually what I'm giving these brands. I could be like a walking AOR, an agency record, if I wanted to be. And I had been before being in-house. I would kind of do all of the different elements of getting out there and standing out through publicity and social media and all the different marketing channels. So what I noticed over the years too, is when you do these kind of campaign executions, like I'm gonna do a bunch of social media, or I'm gonna go over here and do a publicity thing, or I'm gonna come over here and host an event. If it's not really tethering back to your whole brand core promise and like what you're doing as a company, like as a business, basically, you are a business. And it's not cohesive enough. So you don't have that consistency and you don't have that comprehensive like brand ethos that goes across all your marketing tactics. So the way I would say you stand out is by making sure you always stay on brand with yourself. So if owning your voice and owning the room is what you do, you probably, if you wouldn't go do like, I'm trying to think of an example of like, you wouldn't go do a circus or something that's totally off brand for you unless you were teaching circus performers how to own their voice inside the circus tent or something, you know, like keep everything tethered back to what your brand promise and staying on brand with yourself. I think that what I've heard is that I provide these brand identity systems, this website, all this messaging So when they go and take it to marketing platforms, it's really helpful. And so a lot of these marketing people that I've heard back are like, oh, this is so helpful because they come to me and it's already baked and cooked. And so I can see then now how to do executions off of this. And so from there, it's just saturation. And so it's just getting your voice out there, getting out on podcasts, solidifying what you say about yourself. You know, I have Unicorn as my brand icon. I talk a lot about becoming the brand only you can be. I want to have a one of a kind personal brand. I'm also really anti-template. I'm like, you're not a template. So we should, I mean, you can buy a template if you want to use it as a wireframe, but to just use a template and throw your pictures the same place somebody else is, you know, to me, doesn't feel personal to me. And so I would say just also standing out just from the execution of your brand assets. But then from there, it's just like getting out there and just starting to build your reputation and grow it as much as you can and gather your audience. It's all audience building too. It's finding who your niche is, we talked about, and then just pour into them and just be in service of them. Ultimately, just in service of them, the sales will come, in my opinion. And then I think for the brand part of stuff, I like to go more off the philosophy of brand attraction. I know there's funnels, I know there's lead gens, I know there's email captures and magnets and all the marketing stuff, but I also believe that if you have a really great service and a really great brand and you're a great person, it's just going to all come together and you don't have to really overtly like sell, but it also depends on what your business is. But I think ultimately people will know who you are and you'll stand out organically.
That's what I gather from the industry as well. Now is when you talk about building that personal brand, can you shed light on some of the challenges that an individual goes through, especially into the developmental, like as they're growing their personal brand? And the reason I ask that is because when we talk about, I think you had mentioned it early on, there's a lot of top gurus out there. There's a lot of branding experts. There's a lot of thought leaders, a lot of entrepreneurs, right? So how do we stand amongst them or above them? Because I think with a personal brand, you never just want to blend in. How do you play on the same playing field or get to that level? What words of advice or wisdom would you share with those individuals that are like, I'm either just starting or I've been at it for years, but I'm like, I'm not the next Tony Robbins, or I think you had mentioned a couple other, you know, Nike, if we're looking at product brands or things like that.
I saw a quote somewhere and I love it. And it basically says, marketing is like asking somebody out on a date. Brand is why they say yes. So if you're competing amongst all these gurus and you want someone to say yes to you, it's very similar to like back in the day in high school and college, or just when you're trying to have a relationship with somebody and go out to the bar, or you're in class and you see somebody you like, why would they choose you over the other girl or the other guy? You know, like, what is it about you that makes you you? It's you. So we try so hard to be like, oh, well, that girl looks popular, so I'm going to dress like her and talk like her and look like her. So if Tony Robbins is so successful, then I'm going to try to be like him and do what he does and have all that, because that's what we think we're supposed to be doing. But really what we now know as you get through high school and college and you figure it all out, just being you is magnetic enough. Mm-hmm. So if it's not working, you know, maybe there's some iterations and things that can happen. But I would think just like authentically being you and see who you attract with the service you have is like a surrender to having to work too hard, you know, and just be like, figure out like who is your target market, who's going to come to you, and then receive feedback. If there's like, the phone's not ringing and nothing's happening, and there's probably something that might need to tweak, but it's probably not necessarily you, because even the most polarizing people, like Gary Vee, is so polarizing. It's huge. I freaking love him. I love how, I mean, even Mel Robbins in the beginning used to be pretty polarizing in the way she would give advice, and she's great. I think she softened a little since she started her podcast, but personality wise, just be you and you're going to attract people. So that's why I'm like, be you, and be you with your branding too. Make it look like you, just as, make it sound like you. It doesn't need to be like all marketing and sales copy. Talk like yourself. And I think just being like unique, but like Y-O-U neat, just yep. Be you. And I think you'll stand out naturally. And that's what I think is so cool about personal branding, is I can brand you as you, and then we'll see who you attract. Because yes, the competition is out there, but I think what's so cool about it is like, no one can be you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we hear a lot of like the infamous imposter syndrome that's always floating around, especially on the interwebs here. And sometimes we can let that diminish or derail our mission and our message, because we say, well, I'm not the Tony Robbins, I'm not a Mel Robbins, I'm not this, I'm not that. Because sometimes, even though we're pursuing this personal brand, we can get feel like we're not making a headway. We're not making the impact. We're not. And there's a lot of the knots, because that's what comparison will do. It'll help, or it'll really hold you back from stepping fully into who you are. And so if we're not in that space of truly owning your identity and feeling that confidence, and again, confidence is fleeting, right? So it's not something that's always secure in you. It's something you have to create and cultivate. So that confidence that's in you is something that will come by you constantly showing up, putting the reps, and the reps over time is who you're becoming. So I always, when I'm with my clients, I always reiterate that it's about becoming your best version of you. And if you don't know who you are, that's the place we need to start, because we can't grow something from nothing, right? If you're putting seeds in the ground, you don't even know what seed it came from, what the packages that you open, you don't know what you're going to get. And if you're trying to model after all these other gurus that are out there, you are robbing yourself that uniqueness that's gifted for you. So I want to reiterate that. And like I said, I go back to my audience because, or my clients, because they'll be like, well, how do I stand out to here? How do I become this? How I go, don't worry about them. That's just noise and distraction. Let's worry about you today. What can we do today to become a better version than you were yesterday? So I say that with the love from the personal growth side and the transformational work that I do. But when we come to that place of now fully stepping into that confidence and that power, that owning who you are, so that you could step up to that stage and become a brand for yourself, because now you become an advocate for what you have fought so hard to overcome. So, and I think I'm speaking to these women in different seasons, in different niches, but yet the through line is the same, because you're building something from nothing, but that something is you. And that's the journey of life. This is the self-discovery. So I'd love for you to kind of just share a little bit more about things that we haven't covered on this particular topic, because branding and personal branding more specifically is such a, it's a big role to take on. But as Lauren's saying, it's not something that comes with a lot of heavy lifting. You don't need to transform and conform to be something, because you're essentially doing that through the works that you do and building you as the person behind the brand.
Yes. And I think you touched on a lot of very important parts of this. I think when you see the people we've talked about, like Marie Forleo or Jasmine Starr or Brené Brown or Gary Vee and Tony Robbins, like all these guru type people, I struggled with a lot of, I guess I would call it imposter syndrome, but I have a lot of confidence in what I do. I have a sense of bravado, but when it really came down to me selling me, I have bravado over my skill sets, but not over me. And so imposter syndrome, I think, is actually a nice label that's really talking about insecurities and the insecurities you have about your expertise and about your skills, and that you don't really feel like, not me, like I can't really do this for me. Like I think there's this disconnect with like, I know I can do this thing. This thing I do is good and I like this thing, but it's just more the transaction of it. It's like you have this insecurity because honestly, I think there's a lot of self-love that's not there. And I think there's a lot of inner criticism that's happening. And so that's why it's hard to appreciate that, like, am I really good at that thing? Like, am I really? Because you don't appreciate yourself enough. So I do think to really be an effective personal brand is you have to do some of that self-discovery work to make sure you're just as confident about you so that everyone else can be confident about your skills as well. And I still struggle with that a lot. One thing I did as a little exercise is I would use, because Wikipedia doesn't go back far enough. We don't know who really writes it all. But now that we have chat, any of your AI platforms you want to choose, go in and really ask chat, because they can find a lot more information. Like, what is the origin story of X? Who is this person you might be like idolizing over? And really see how long they've been at work. I didn't know Mel Robbins had a TV show before she was who she was. You can also go back on YouTube, people that are like, that are public figures on YouTube. Go back to their episodes and then change your filter so it's their first one and go look where they started. Jasmine Starr, one I just spoke of, she's one that has her one of her very first up there, and she's huge. And I idolize her. I'm inspired by how she hosts. I just love the way she hosts. She's very smart. She's very passionate. I just really like her. But when I went back to her very, 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 very first YouTube, and there's like a sheet behind her head hanging on the wall, and it was just like really bad lighting and just like really primitive types of information she was sharing about photography, and now she is who she is. You can see like, okay, there's a lot more work we don't know has really gone into this, and you can see the date on there. And I'm like, whoa, this took 9 years or 8 years. And I'm just like, okay, all the people we see cooked have had years and years and years building up to that. So I think it's kind of nice to not have a big platform when you first start out, because it gives you time to kind of just like kick the tires and prototype. And like, you know, I mentioned to you, I had this community that I was going to offer in the spring. I had a name for it. I had an audience of people I was growing. And I realized like community wasn't really what I was probably going to be best at. And what I was hearing from it too is people liked the one-on-one offering of everything I had within it. And so I'm like, I'm just kind of going back to servicing a person again. And so that helped me just kind of figure out where I was going with things. So I would just say that imposter syndrome is definitely something that's hard, but I think that a lot of it is just your inner confidence and kind of figuring out what you really love about yourself that you don't feel like an imposter. But those are kind of the two things that I've done, is kind of really research and deep dive on these people that I maybe want to be like and remind myself how long it took them. And then just having to do a lot of inner work on yourself so that you just love yourself enough that why wouldn't anybody like you back?
Right. I love that. And I love your vulnerability there as well, because, you know, it takes a lot. I mean, you're saying, okay, I'm a personal brand strategist, or, you know, I work with creative director and I work with all these brands. And, but to your point, it's like, yeah, you still struggle with these because one, let's not us forget that we are human beings. Like we feel things, we experience things, like that is all part of it. But your point about, you know, the self-love, right? I think that's so true, because when you care enough about yourself, you're going to take care of it. When you love yourself, you're going to forgive, right? So there's those components that as you're going through the journey and you're going to mess up, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to, you know, have to ask for forgiveness and grace and things like that. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to put ourselves out there and accept it because you're still accepting this new version that you're constantly evolving and growing and becoming. So I feel like that's the constant work in progress. But I think that once you start to overcome those things, our confidence just exudes, because it grows with maturity and it grows with wisdom and it grows over time. That confidence is something that will always be refined. And I think just as I'm kind of in different seasons of my life, in the season that I'm in today, is I love myself so much, and not in like that overly conceited way. But I say that because there's a way to really convey what you're willing to accept and reject from the world of what the standard is. And I've gotten to a point where you have to develop like a thicker skin, because I'm a former recovering perfectionist, people pleaser, where so much of my power was given away for others to determine and define me. And that really, it crushed my spirit and my soul when I wasn't accepted or wasn't invited or wasn't liked, or, you know, there's just human nature things, right? But I allowed so much of my identity to be wrapped around that. But now I'm so secure in it that I could just pop on, do me, and I don't even have time to think about what other people thought, because my mission has become bigger than my insecurities. My faith has become bigger than my fear. My confidence has become bigger than my doubts. And so when you start looking at that in your own personal growth and in the trajectory of where you're going, you realize that you are carving out your own path in your own way. So it doesn't, you're no longer comparing against becoming an imposter. You're trying to stand out amongst yourself and as your own. So I say that with the utmost love for those that are listening, that it's pave your own way. It's creating your own story, creating that own narrative. And so that lane, you're not even going to have any other people on that lane to be an imposter against, because you're doing something unique and different. But it ultimately comes back to who are you? Like, who is Lauren? Who is Rachel? Who is it you that is listening? Mm-hmm. And so owning that. And then one other point that I want to make too, and I think it kind of fit into what you were talking about with your personal brand, is that you're kind of teetering two sides, because you're building up your personal brand, but yet you help other personal brand clients. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but this thing has been coming up to my mind lately, and I'm trying to sit with this for a moment to figure out why this has been in my head. But have you ever heard how some people are better at coaching than they are playing the sport? Like they're better at being a coach than an athlete.
I could see that.
Right. I don't know why this keeps coming up. This has been a recurring thought that has been over these past couple months, and I'm like, what does this mean? Huh. But I think that kind of hit when you were saying, I'm great at helping our clients with a personal brand, but me being a personal brand, I don't know if that's the lane of where I'm really set to stay. And I say that again, because I don't think everybody has to pick or choose, but you excel in the areas that you're best at, because not every athlete can be a coach, and not every coach can be an athlete.
That's true. That's great. It's kind of like the cobbler's that has great, doesn't have good shoes. There's some quote about that. Yeah.
Because the cobbler's making the shoes, but maybe he doesn't have the best kind of shoes because he's so busy serving, because that's his skill. That's his talent. That's his gifts and abilities.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the conundrum with some people that want to be personal brand but are scared to get out there and not sure if they want to. And then the ones that are like, no, I'm ready. I can go there. I'm like, yes, let me lift you up. Let me get you there. You know, I don't know. Maybe I need, one of my mentors says you're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. And so that was also part of me going, who was I once? And I was like, even in this space now, I was like, what was I once? And I was like, if I'm cheerleading people and like wanting them to be the best versions of themselves, and I want to get them out there and I want to share their gifts, and I want to uncover their unicorn and have them feel so seen and heard. Is that who I once was? And I was like, that is who I once was. And I just need that person for me now.
Exactly.
I just need that person to pour into me. But I've uncovered it. I'll get there. There are some traditional ingredients to a personal brand. And so, you know, it is you. It is your voice. And so I haven't quite conquered the getting out there and selling myself part of things. But I think that as I keep defining my personal brand, you know, it is uncovering the unicorn of people. It is being very passionate about differentiation and looking like a unicorn in a sea of horses. But ultimately, like, what is my personal story that gets me there? What is it that I care so much about? And so I am still defining that and figuring that out. And I think that I might not end up ever selling myself, as I will probably sell it via the people, because that's what I'm so passionate about. But I think there is some nuance in, like, how am I gonna sell myself as my personal brand and talk about myself if you don't naturally come to it just out there, just with no fear and like, here I am and I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to do this. And, you know, and I would argue, using Mel Robbins again as an example, I mean, she talks about herself and about things that she's battled, but it doesn't feel like her whole persona is like, well, let me tell you about what I've been through. See, I had a tragedy and now I've triumphed, and that's why I'm passing on these services to you. She more just like got known for wanting to talk about people's kind of mental health issues or just emotional things and just have deep talks. And she wanted to just be a friend. And she's like, I just wanted to kind of sit and be a friend to people and talk to people about things I know. So she kind of passed on lessons, and that became her brand. So I will be honest, I am still figuring that out for myself right now. But as I carve out what I want to be known for, that part I've gotten to work on. And so we shall see. As you so eloquently put it, it's always evolving and always iterating as we grow through seasons ourselves personally.
Yeah. And I think that that's the one thing that's constant, is that this life is ever changing. Therefore, we are ever changing with it, and just giving ourselves grace and just, you know, allowing ourselves to have bad days along with the good days, right? It's the ebbs and flows of life. And I don't think that anyone, in fact, I know for certain, nobody has ever arrived, because right, we're constantly on this journey, and this journey will continue with every day that we're going. And even if you think that you've arrived at your destination, you're going to be like, this isn't what I had in mind. So you're going to keep going. So it's like you pass that rest stop kind of thing on the highway. You're like, okay, we stopped and now on to the next one, right? So I think it's really cool. There's just this journey we call life. And, you know, as we experience it, that's our gift to give back to others, which in turn become part of our persona and our personal brand. And so that's where individuals such as yourself come in and just really help see that from a different perspective. Because when we're in our life and our life stories and our life's, you know, our life's work, that's where we can't see things from the perspective, and why we need individuals like you to come in and help shed light on that, and vice versa. So, you know, in reality, we need each other, right? This is life that we're not meant to do alone. We need people that are there to help support, extract, root, celebrate, cheer, all those things for us. So obviously, I mean, this, I could talk forever and ever, but we're coming out of time. We're running out of time here. But Lauren, so what would, you know, something that you would want to share with our listeners that we haven't yet talked about, or just like a last tidbit of advice or inspiration you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, something we haven't really mentioned that I think is kind of an interesting part of my personal brand lately is that I just turned 49 and I made this decision at 48 a year ago that I wanted to kind of pivot and take on a new version of me. And I mean, there are definitely role models out there, and I get all the amazing memes on Instagram that talk about like when Martha Stewart started her business or when some actress started and like you're never too old kind of thing. But I didn't have, to me, a lot of role models or women in a professional career setting that reached kind of this end of their 40s, entering into their 50s, that are going to kind of redefine that next path. And so I just wanted to give permission for anybody that might be listening that might be thinking, oh, it's too late, or I've been working for so long, I'm already at this job, I can't do something new, I'm not going to leave now. The majority of the clients I work with now are all 25 to 30 year career vets that have started something new. And they have all this expertise now and all this knowledge they want to give back. And maybe they've gotten to a place where they can now leave the job very amicably. There's no hard feelings. And it's just go develop a next chapter for you. So it's really exciting to me to think about like this whole new world that can be started at age 49, 50 to 55 in that space and just kind of start over. And that people want that. You know, there's a lot of people saying like, oh, there's ageism. And once you get gray hairs, corporations aren't going to want you anymore. And so I think the world of personal branding is definitely one where like your expertise is really, really valuable. And if you can package that all up into a business offering in some way, then you're kind of set and it's fun. And it's fun to be able to give that knowledge back in a way. So it's really cool to have your name, your URL be a new business at that stage. So that's kind of something else I'm passionate about. And you know, my oldest son is a sophomore in college. My youngest is in high school. So I'm kind of in that season of life, but I'm also sandwich generation caregiving for my mom who's got dementia and my dad who's going crazy caregiving for her. And so like there's all that personal stuff going on too outside of the world of my career and profession. So to your point about just having grace and just surrendering to the mess of all of life and all its ups and downs that you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
Right. I mean, that's powerful. It's like you're the living testament to what is possible. And you're just sharing that also with your clients and the realness of you being you, the human behind the brand, because let us not forget that no matter what brand you follow or subscribe to, there is somebody behind that. And good or bad, pay attention to who you follow, because that's something that you're representing. You're giving your advocacy to that brand. And like you share, I mean, there's so much of the humanist behind what you do. And so I just love the power that you're sharing. And so, of course, you know, how can our listeners follow along with you, but also connect with you and reach out and learn more about how to build their personal brand or some sharing stories, right? Because that's how it all happens.
Yes, I love it. Well, so I would be amiss to not have laurenbain.com. So my name, Lauren, B as in boy, Ayne.com. So my name. You can go there and look at a lot of my traditional ad work. I'm actually updating my site with these new brands that I just launched the last really 5-6 weeks. And then I'm also on Instagram, and that's at Hey Lauren Bain. That's my Instagram handle. And that's where I probably play the most there, and LinkedIn as well. But I also offer free what I call dream catcher calls, you know, like those little dream catchers you hang in the window. That's kind of how I was visually seeing the role of what I do on these calls. I know that those are traditionally used to kind of filter out bad energy, but that is kind of what I'm doing. I'm filtering out kind of any of these intrusive thoughts or just limiting beliefs you might have about what you can do with your personal brand. And I'm just kind of catching the dreams for what you want to do with yourself, with your expertise and your value and service. And so I do those for 30 minutes. They're free. And you can sign up on my website. There's a link there. And then we can just talk about it and kind of put a plan together if this is something you're interested in doing.
Awesome. Well, so of course, all that will be in our show notes below. So be sure to follow and let Lauren know if this episode resonates with you. Again, this is why we create these episodes, to connect. We want to share our expertise, our hearts, our passion. And it's always nice to have somebody on the other end receiving that. So anyway, that's all my little tidbits there, because obviously, you know, as we're creators, we're passionate about what we do. But so yes, be sure to connect with Lauren and everything will be there. And Lauren, just thank you. Thank you so much for this time and just sharing your heart and your wisdom and inspiration to all these individuals that are listening. So if you're on a fence of building your brand or want to grow, connect with Lauren. She's got you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for being a unicorn and giving all of us a platform to be inspired from.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.